Okay, let's go back a little bit from last week, ask some questions for everyone here too, right? So what happened to the Israelites that made them question that God would deliver them? You remember it all? Yes, their lives got harder because Pharaoh did not let them have straw. That's good. I'm done. Thank you. No. Okay, how did God help them in their doubts? So when they were doubtful last time, how did God help them? That's almost word for word. It's like you studied this. That's great. Yeah, by reminding him of his name and promise. Thank you. Very good. That's so great. Real quick, let's go ahead, and if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus 7. And Exodus 7, verses 1 through 13. And we're going to go into what we call this title, The Battle Begins. So I'm going to read the verse to you, and we'll go over. Actually, what I'm going to do is you turn to that. I'm going to read you the questions you can think about beforehand, right? So first question, what does a prophet do? So think about that while we're reading. What does a prophet do? Why did God turn Aaron's rod into a serpent, or snake? So why? And why did the serpent from Aaron's rod eat the serpents from the rods of the magicians? I know in weird context, right? But we're going to read the verse for that. So think about those three questions. What does a prophet do? Why did God turn Aaron's rod into a snake? Why did the serpent of Aaron's rod eat the other serpents from the magicians there? So think about that. Okay, so Exodus 7, verses 1 through 13. Then Yahweh said to Moses, see, I set you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh that he let the sons of Israel go out of his land. Okay? But I harden Pharaoh's heart with stiffness, that I may multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not listen to you. And I will set my hand upon Egypt and bring out my hosts, my people, the sons of Israel, from the land of Egypt by great judgments. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from their midst, where he saves them. So Moses and Aaron did that. As Yahweh commanded them, thus they did. And now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. There he goes commanding them to show him his prophets, speaking, being the mouthpiece of God to them, going to Pharaoh to talk to him. But verse 8, we continue. And Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, work a miraculous wonder, then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh and did just as Yahweh commanded. And Aaron threw his staff before the Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called for the wise men and the sorcerers. You know, this is the Pharaoh's group, like his wise men, right? And they also, the magicians of Egypt, they did this, then did the same with their secret arts. And each one threw down his staff and became serpents. But Aaron's staff, remember this, swallowed up their staffs. Okay? Yet Pharaoh's heart was hardened with strength, and he did not listen to them as Yahweh had spoken. So a lot of truth in there. You saw how God commanded Aaron and Moses to become prophets to speak for him, become his mouthpiece, to go to Pharaoh and talk about that. So let me ask you this first question. What do? Ooh, big one. Do what? They do worship God. What do they do for him? What do you send them out for, being the sent ones? So remember, he commanded them to go to Pharaoh, right? Yeah, in a sense, yeah. But they're like, they represent God, right? The prophet represents God to people and speak words given him directly from God. So the prophets are those who have had the word God speak directly to him. So whatever those the prophets say, you know, thus says the word, thus says the prophet, coming from God directly. And we know today there are no other more prophets today now that the Bible is complete and is complete in Scripture. So there's no prophets today. But in that time, God used them to speak directly to the people. So why did God turn Aaron's rod into a serpent? What were the prophets trying to prove? True, good. But where did they come from? Who sent them there? Yes, so they were proving that God was the one that sent them there. So it was a miracle done in the name of God, okay, to show that Aaron and Moses spoke as true prophets. This was proven, hey, this turned from a staff to a snake. This is proof that I am coming from God directly. So that's where Aaron and Moses came to show. So why did the serpents from Aaron's rod eat the serpents from the rods of the magicians? So you have two other rods, right, from these guys in their secret arts, right? They're magicians. And then our one from Aaron. So why did his eat those two? That's right. That's true, too. So that showed the might and power of God. You know, these people throw these false, weird type of things, the magicians of Egypt, and they thought they were strong in that way. But, of course, our God is bigger. He's stronger. He has more authority, has power as a king over Pharaoh and even Satan in that. So, yes. So my main idea I wanted to bring up to you as we begin this, okay, the battle between the power of God and the power of Satan rages as Moses and Aaron challenge Pharaoh for a second time, okay? The battle between the power of God and the power of Satan rages as Moses and Aaron challenge Pharaoh a second time. So in the Middle Ages, war broke out often, and warriors often wore a gauntlet. You may have seen wear armor, right? Seen people wear armor before. Well, one wore a gauntlet. It's an armor glove that protected their hand and wrist. And when war began, it was custom for an important officer of the attacking army to take off his gauntlet and throw it down at the feet of the enemy, like a duel, like declaring war. You ever seen people do that where they pull a glove and like, I challenge you, and they slap their face, kind of? You ever seen that? They just wanted to duel. It's kind of like that. They threw off their gauntlet, threw it down, we're declaring war. So Moses and Aaron threw down that gauntlet. They challenged Pharaoh, right? And this was the second time. So Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let Israel go. Remember, they're trying to bring his people out. They've been enslaved. Bring the people go. The war had begun between Israel and Egypt. And behind Moses and Aaron, the mighty I Am stood, right? Behind Moses and Aaron, we had God, okay? Isaac, the God of Isaac and Jacob, too, the Almighty, the I Am. Behind Pharaoh stood, well, Satan, in the sense the ancient serpent who tempted our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. So Pharaoh even, this is kind of interesting, Pharaoh even had a serpent on his crown, for he was said to rule by the power of the serpent god of Egypt. Kind of a weird thing on that is. So he thought the power of the serpent of God on his crown. But, oh yeah, enraged, I get it. I would too. Ugh, that's not convicting. So in this battle, we see the war that rages in all ages, okay, between the seed of the woman, Jesus, and the seed of the serpent. So we go in further. Aaron threw down the rod of God, and it turned into a serpent, proving that there were true prophets sent by God. Right? Those signs and wonders, that miracle it showed out there, because that's not a normal phenomenon. That was just shown by God. But the Pharaoh's magicians did the same. And if I was in that crowd, I'd probably be like, wow, that's kind of weird. You know, how are they able to do that? And he's able to do that. What's the difference? So you see the rods turned into two serpents, and God's rod was outnumbered, 2-1. Usually not a fair fight. So 2-1, but the serpent from God ate up the serpents from Satan. So what does that tell us? Like you said, God is sovereign over the serpents, he's powerful, over Pharaoh, and even Satan himself. Because remember, Satan is God's Satan. He controls what Satan does in his authority. We see that in Job, right? You know, he goes to God for permission to inflict anything on Job. He didn't do it on his own free will. It was only by what God permitted him to do. So we see that in that power. So the serpent reminds us the fall of humankind, okay? In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned and were punished, God would use plagues to punish Egypt and bring salvation to Israel. And this looks forward to, ultimately, Christ. So we see how it's coming towards focusing on Christ, who took the punishment of his sinful people on the cross to save them from the power of the devil. So a lot happened. A lot of stuff pointing to Christ in here. A lot of stuff pointing to the power of God and the prophets themselves. So I'm going to wrap it up with three questions, and we'll call it good. So as we read, how does the victory of the rod of God give us hope today? Kind of weird question. What did Christ do on the cross for us? Die for our sins. And what did he defeat on that? In a sense, yes, sin and death. Yes, Satan, right? He teaches that God will swallow up all the works of Satan forever, right? He defeated all that on the cross. And that's what it teaches that gives us hope today, that there's that hope, the anticipation of Christ coming from the Old Testament to the New. Very good. Now, why did Christ have to die on the cross? Which you just pretty much answered, right? In order to suffer the plague of God's anger, right? That anger that's on us, you know, as sinners, that wrath is stored on us. Christ, in God's anger, in the place of his sinful people, so that they might be saved from sin and Satan. See, you guys are on it. That's why Christ died on the cross for us. Now, can God's people today, okay, can God's people today still have hope that the Lord their God is with them as they face the terrible power of Satan? So as we go in our day-to-day, do we still have that hope with God? Yes, good, good. Yes, yes. Because remember, if God is for us, who can what? Be against us. be against us. Yes. Just kidding. Yes, we can fight against sin and Satan, knowing that Christ makes us more than winners by grace alone. It's only by him can we even do that, right? Grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. So as we go in today, let's pray today that the Lord would grant your family victory in all their battles with Satan, because every day is a battle. We fight the world, we fight Satan, the principalities, the darkness. We're always bombarded constantly, but it's only through Christ alone and focusing on him that we get through this world. And of course, as we talked about this morning in fellowship, the unity of the fellow believers, because we need that daily, constantly. We need relationships with each other in Christ, working and building each other up all the time. But it was a little rant, but I just want to tell you that. So that's all I had for you today. So hopefully that worked out, and I'm glad you all can make it. And all of you as well, thank you for listening. So let's go ahead and pray and we'll go into worship. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, and just praise you for ultimately you are a sovereign and holy thrice God who has control over every aspect of life, everything in our daily lives, and what is to come. We know that the power that you've put on here with Satan, we know that you're in control of that at every 100%. And we know that there is also hope in you, hope of Christ who's come before us to save us, sin and death, and we put our trust in you and believe in you as the true Christ, the true Son of God. Thank you for everything you provided for us. Though we don't deserve it, you still provided it, Lord. It is in your name we pray, amen.